Life is designed to be fun. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campa, California, with Thought for Today. Life is designed to be fun. Now, believe it? Believe it?
Yes.
Believe it? Well, all you have to do is look at my dog, Rex. And Rex comes to me with this toy. He says, pull. And Rex comes to me with a different thing. He says, take. Rex looks at my sandwich and he says, I will share it with you. Rex looks at anything I'm doing. He says, hey, we're partners, you know. You know, we're father and son, you know.
Yeah.
I share everything I have with you. I bring you my baby bunnies that I catch, and I bring you the different things that I find, and you take it from me, and then you give me stuff, and, you know, it's a sharing thing. But life is to be fun. And so Sylvia has his tail on the other side of the table, and I've got his head on this side here, pulling on the toy that he has here. But you see, life is meant to be fun. Now, if you don't believe me, ask Rex, because he says the only thing that I enjoy doing more than playing is sleeping and eating. You know. And he said, and I will do all three in equal portions, you know. Play and sleep and eat. And I enjoy life. And, you know, I haven't got a care in the world. If I have a care, I just bark and somebody comes and tends to me. And, you know, that's what babies do, too.
Right.
When they have a care, they say, mwah, or they say, gaga, gaga, gaga. What's that kid into? He's happy. He's doing something. Oh, you know, I see. You want your pants changed. All right. That's nice, too. Well, you see, life is really fun. Now, I was noticing in an article the other day, and it was talking about people living long lives. And then the article was saying, and you get up in the morning and you do your thing, and you know, and you eat, and then you go off and you do your thing, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you're a volunteer in some organization. Maybe you've got a job. Maybe you're just going out to walk the dog. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you're a student. You know, maybe you're a young person going to school, or an older person going to school. Rex, I'm going to have to let go of that. Boy, he's got a lot of strength. But he has me pulling on that rubber toy of his. And the article said, whatever you do, you know, whatever you do. And I thought, that's an interesting statement. Whatever you do. In other words, nothing is really important. Whether you go to school, or whether you are retired, or whether you go to your job, or whether you are a baby, you know, getting lots of sleep and playing, or whether you are a dog or a cat or whatever, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that you're being yourself and having fun. If you're not being yourself and having fun, forget it. Now, we look at our friend over in London, Hawkins, and we think about Stephen Hawkins, and we say, here he is locked up inside of that body that is not letting him, you know, function as we are functioning. And then you stop and you think, here he is being the most creative, imaginative person you can imagine, one of the outstanding scientists of the 20th century, a most amazing man, while he's locked up inside of that capsule, that body that doesn't want to function for him, that body that won't let him talk, that won't let him move, that won't let him, you know, do anything. But that brain is still very much active and very, very fantastic. It has nothing else to do except to think, you know, and be creative. And how can he demonstrate that creativity? How does he get the thoughts from his mind to whoever it is who's translating what he's doing, transcribing it, and putting it in a book? And he's just having fun. Now, there you have a man who is having fun, and theoretically he doesn't have a body. But what does he do? He creates an electronic body. He creates an electronic body that responds to his thought, that responds to his eyes. He can blink his eyes and so forth. And of course, I presume he can eat and go to the toilet and do this, different things like that, which is, you know, quite tough when you are quadriplegic in every way like that, unable to move your arms and your legs and your hands and so forth. Now, am I dwelling upon him as a negative? No. I'm dwelling upon him as the fact that we have the capacity to be ourselves and have fun regardless of what we do. Whether we are mental people, there's a lot of mental people, or whether we are mental like Hawkins is, or whether we are without body. And how many they have the handicapped Olympics. And in the handicapped Olympics, people without legs or without arms, or people who have all sorts of handicaps that keep them from being a fully expressing person as a normal person might be, and that doesn't stop them. They take their wheelchair and they run their wheelchair, and regardless of whether their legs are just hanging limp there or not even there, they just go roaring along. They enter into having fun. Now, do you think that they need to win the Olympics? Do you think that they need to contest in the Olympics to show how good they are? Are they? They're just proving to themselves, hey, I can do whatever I choose to do. Now, I'm going to create a new school, and it's going to be a non-academic school, and the school is going to be called Be Yourself and Have Fun, and 12 Easy Lessons. Be yourself and have fun. Now, regardless of what kind of body you have, that's immaterial. Regardless of how highly developed your mind is, that's immaterial. Regardless of how pretty or how unpretty you are, that's just what your mind is, that's all that matters. All those other things, it doesn't matter. Money, regardless. Because if you like yourself and have fun, you will get the greatest joy there is out of life. Now, so you're limited, and you only have arms or only have legs or something. And so, what do some people do who only have legs? They learn to drive a car with their legs. They learn to paint with their legs. Mm-hmm. They learn to hold a paintbrush with their foot and paint. Oh, my God. Everybody who's got arms, legs, and everything else, they don't even paint, you know. And the people who do paint do it because they enjoy it. And that's what life's all about. Be yourself and have fun. This should be our modus operandi. This should be our call to arms for activity in every area of life that we want to be. Be ourselves and have fun. Now, how do you be yourself and have fun? Well, there's three little birds. Ellen?
I like me.
Sylvia?
I like me.
Ingeborg?
I like me.
And that's what it's all about. The three little words, I like me. When you like yourself, boy, don't you think you're pretty good? Don't you think you're pretty wonderful? Don't you think you're pretty smart, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. How about that? Now, Ellen was trying to show us how absolutely stupid she is, how what an idiot she is. And we gave her a little game, and the game was for rather rapid thinking people. A bunch of little circles would appear, and in each circle would be a number. And they'd all appear, and then they'd be gone. And then you have to, with your flash memory, have made a mental photograph of all those circles with their numbers in it, and then start at the lowest number. And they were in a variable pattern, you know. And it wasn't easy to do that. It wasn't what you're normally, Ellen says, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And here it says 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you know, 0. And you often forget the 0. Now, so Ellen says, I can't do that. I did too, and I, but I had my granddaughter do it, and she says, "Oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful." But her granddaughter didn't think of it as a test. She just thought of it as a challenge, just as a game of tennis, you know. How do I hit the ball? What are the rules of the game? See, first you learn the rules of the game. And the rules of that particular game were what? The rules of that game were that you...
Remember.
No.
You make a picture.
No. The rules of that game were that you start from the lowest number to the highest number. The lowest number to the highest number. Then, when the numbers flash on your screen, you photograph those numbers in your mind, and you don't photograph them lowest to highest, you photograph them all. Then you start defining, when it asks, it gives you the blank circles, you say, oh yeah, 0, 1, 3, 9, you know. And so you put the numbers on after it, but first you have to learn the rules of the game. Now, Ingeborg, what is the rule of the game of life? Schnell, I like me.
I like me.
I give you all the answers, you know. Now, what is the rule of the game of life?
I like me.
I like me. That's the rule of the game of life. Now, if you don't like yourself, you cannot be in the game of life. You're out. You know, you're outcast, and you die, and you do. But as long as you like yourself, you're in the game of life, and you're having fun with it. Now, if you don't want to play by the rules of I like me, then what happens? Then you merely create a whole series of situations where you don't like yourself. Nobody does anything for me. Everybody makes life tough for me. Everybody gives me a hard time. Everybody takes all the best stuff, and I get the dregs, you know. You know how that is?
Yeah.
A lot of kids, you know, they are in a family of five. The eldest does not wear out the clothes. And so the next in line gets it. And sometimes even the next in line from that gets it. But they don't wear them out. And then somebody comes along, and if he's the eldest and he starts playing ball games and stuff like that and kick the can, his shoes are worn out and he can't pass them down the line, you know. So, but he's having fun and being himself. And then the youngest says, look at here, he gets to kick the can all, he's got such nice shoes, and he can do those things. Just say, oh, go ahead, brother, kick the can and mess up your shoes so that I can't wear them. Then they have to buy me a pair. They have to buy me a new pair. And you see, be happy with everyone else's joy in life, because it always has a present for you. It always has a gift for you, something that you don't realize is coming because you're looking only at the present. You're looking only at the scuffed up shoes and thinking they're going to be passed on down to me. No, let them scuff them up completely, you know, so it tears off the sole and everything, and then they'll buy you some new ones. That's just the way it is. And never say it. Be happy for someone else's delight. Be happy for someone else's happiness, because if you're happy for someone else's happiness, you're double happy. You're happy with their delight, and then you're happy when you have your own experiences. And this is being yourself and having fun. Finding delight in all areas of life. Instead of finding unhappiness or finding circumstances that make you feel like you've been last man on the totem pole and you're on the bottom of the heap always, you know, when they have the heaps on the football field and you're the man on the bottom. My goodness, 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 that would be tough, you know. But no, that's all part of the game. You just think, my goodness, here I'm being loved by all these guys. Crunch. And when you look at it as being loved, it's a whole different thing, you know. It's a whole different thing. Yeah, life is wonderful.
Yes.
Be yourself and have fun. And when you be yourself and have fun, there is no challenge too great ever to make you feel sad. And there's no happiness too great ever to make you feel that there isn't something even more happy coming along if I just remain open get in the channel, get on the boat, the happiness boat, and enjoy it every moment of my life. Life's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Life is worth it. So, Rex, you have a good attitude toward life. You've been well trained by your genes and chromosomes and so forth, and by your family here, who just think you're the most wonderful. And, you know, the trouble about Rex is, everybody who sees Rex falls in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is such a bounding ball of joy and love that even people who are frightened of him love him.
Mm-hmm.
The electric company man was cleaning up around the poles, the electric poles on the property here, and Rex jumped up on the door of his car and said, "Hi," and his tail go 100 miles an hour, and the guy looks at him, and he backed away a little bit. He says, "So much love, I'm not used to, you know, I'm not used to that." And I said, "Come on, Rex, now, let the guy alone, he's got work to do." And so we went on our way. But he's just a barrel of love, and everybody knows it. And even a barrel of love, you have to push back a little bit so that it doesn't tear you apart. Because, as they say, he doesn't always know his own strength. But he knows his love, and he just shines it out always. Let us know our love and shine it out always, and be ourselves and have fun in everything we do. And then we'll find that life really is a joyous adventure. I love you eternally.